Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Kerr of Simple Minds. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Nice to talk to you again.
I know. We talked right when Walk Between Worlds came out. And
yes. I know. Thank you for having me back.
Well, we weren't going to have you back because you lied to us, or you strung us on a little bit, Jim, because we asked you about a tour and you were like, oh, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then, bam, Fillmore in October, just like that.
That's what happens. You talk to Jim O'Brien and Aaron.
It is
so. That's what happens. That's the effect.
I loved the rehearsal video that you guys did on YouTube. I thought that was so cool. I don't know if that was your idea or whoever came up with that. But, Jim, it was just really neat to be behind the curtain and watch you guys kind of walk through it and answer some questions.
Yeah,
that was a neat touch.
Yeah, that was right at the start before we went out. I think that was like 4 or 5 months ago. And we were getting excited trying stuff out. It's always good to, you know, let people see what's going on, and especially now that you can, and with the social network sites and all that, it's a great opportunity, and I'm glad you enjoyed it, Jim.
But what was interesting to me, and I've never heard someone put it the way you did when you guys were talking about it, you and Dennis talking about this, you were asked about how do you get up for every show, and then you kind of the way you structured it in my mind was, you're doing all these shows. Like, for example, you got shows in Chicago and Cleveland and Detroit back to back to back when you're on the road next month. But to me, or to Aaron, or to anybody here in the Motor City, the only show that matters is that night. And the way you explained it, Jim, was perfect.
Well, that's absolutely the truth, Jim. I mean, one thing I feel confident in saying is that I still, going back to my own experience, mostly as a kid, a teenager, that going to see live bands was the thing that I loved to do most. And, you know, I'd look at the tour dates and you would get excited. Oh, they're finally coming. And then you have your night, and then, you know, you're still, it lives on with you, and you're thinking, tomorrow night they're playing in Aberdeen, or Bowie's playing in Dundee, or I wish I was there, or whatever. Point being, that night is the night, and that's, as far as the audience is concerned, that's when you have to deliver. And I think, from a performer's point of view, it'd be easy for some to get in a kind of autopilot, because, you know, I mean, pretty much you go out there and the same time every night you hit the stage, but you've got to block that out, because as far as the audience is concerned, that's the only, maybe the only night ever they see you, and they might have looked forward to it for weeks, for months, for years. And you wouldn't want, not for the lack of trying anyway, to give your very best each and every night.
I know this is the first time that you guys are going to be in back in the States in the last, 5 years. Is there any place that you're really, really looking forward to playing that you haven't in such a long time?
Well, the great thing, Aaron, is that this time we're getting a chance to go right across the country. You're quite right. It was 5 years when we last played, but that was basically really just a couple on the East Coast and a couple in the West Coast. I'm dying just to get out into the journey, and of course to get to Detroit, to get to the Clevelands, to get to all of those places. They're, you know, they're the heartlands, and we would just want to go out and reconnect and at the same time prove ourselves again.
Really? You feel? Do you honestly feel that, Jim, that there on some level you have to prove yourself again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I... And I'm glad I feel that way. You know, I really do. Because, you know, people will be coming, or people will be curious to come. And of course, the very fact they've bought a ticket, they're on your side. They want you to do well and all that. But I want it to be better than they think it's going to be. And there's a pressure involved in that. But that's the challenge. And that's a pressure that... I love having it's a pressure that we're comfortable with.
Is it true? Like, I know, like Aaron and I, we were just talking in the studio about this. When you become the bigger that you become and the longer your library becomes, the harder it is to work in new music to a set. So Walk Between Worlds, like Summer's great. You got to do Dirty Old Town. I know it's on the deluxe edition, but man, that's fantastic. And the title track, there's so many good songs on this, Jim. How do you feather them in and still make the fan who comes there wanting to hear Alive and Kicking and Don't You Forget About Me and you know, all the different songs. How do you balance that out?
Well, first of all, thanks very much. And I'm really delighted that you think the new stuff has that, you know, that kind of merit in it and that kind of quality. That's great. It is a problem, but it's a great problem to have. I mean, you'd rather have that problem than the other way. What we're going to do, and again, we're going to put together a set that will attempt to tick a whole load of boxes. Of course, we're going to play the songs people would want to hear. At the same time, we've got fans who maybe knew the band back in their college days and stuff. We're going to play some stuff that they'll know and stuff that used to thrill them back in the day. We're going to throw in a few surprises as well. And of course, you know, you want to give people the sense of the journey you've been on from the early days right up until where we are now. And I think we're getting pretty good at doing that, judging by the reviews that we've been getting and the kind of stuff that people post. There will always be, you know, when you've got hundreds of songs, and literally we do have hundreds, there will always be, you know, if you would say, well, they didn't play that one, I would, you know, I'd love them to have played that. But, you know, if we do a good job, who knows? We might even get invited back through again, and you might hear your song that time.
One of my friends texted me a couple weeks ago, caught one of your shows in the UK, and, and said that you were back on stage with the Pretenders.
Yeah.
What was that like, touring with your, I mean, I got to ask, because you guys haven't been on stage together since Live Aid, and that's a while.
Yeah, you're asking the question everyone wants to know, and rightly so. I guess it's not very common for, you know, exes to work together, certainly in rock and roll. I'm trying to think who would have done that. Maybe Johnny Cash would have done that or something. You know, he would go out with his brood or his various broods. Listen, what can I tell you? Being backstage, because Chrissy went on before us, being backstage, there was various emotions gone through me. But the first one was being listening to the music and thinking, God, she's so good. And we were all fans, and we still are fans. It was great to find her in such great form. So that was amazing. It was also amazing to think, God, we're going to have to follow this. That's how good she was. That was something else. But I guess the night that meant a lot to her and me was not only when her kids came, but when her grandkids came. And that was special. And we feel very lucky that we have a relationship that, although we were married ever so long ago and obviously we split up, but we've still managed to maintain a relationship. I mean, what is it your mother used to say? Patience is a virtue.
Yes.
You know, that sometimes it calls for a bit of patience here and there, but we've managed to do it. And the last gig was last Sunday night, and afterwards she texted me to say, oh, that was just so great. This was the next day. I texted her back. I said it was an honor because that's how great an artist she is.
That's so cool. Because in 85, I remember when we were looking up Simple Minds concert dates, it was you and Chrissy were here at Pine Knob.
Pine Knob, there you go. I remember that name. You're right.
Yeah, that was the tour, man. That was a huge tour that summer.
That's right, yeah. Well, there we are. So I think that was 1984.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I probably had a mullet.
You know,
I don't think I'll be growing a mullet anymore.
Please, no.
Hey, the hair looks good, man. It looks tight. Jim, it looks tight. You look very professional. You got the scarf going again. It looks good. But I do admit you got to bring one thing back that you haven't done in a while. It's not a song. It's a look. In the Alive and Kicking video, you were holding on to a peregrine falcon at one point.
God.
Can we get the falcon back on stage?
I'm scared of birds.
Whose idea was that?
Yeah, what was that about?
Hey, Jim, hold a falcon in this video. It'll look good.
Not a bit. It was a Polish guy. He came in and he says, well, you got to hold it. And I said, I'm holding it. And he said, no, you really got to hold it there. And I said, why? And he says, because if you don't, it'll go up and go for your eye. I was like, oh, thank you very much. So if you look at that again, I'm trying to look cool, but I'm terrified. And how can you look cool anyway with those trousers on that I had?
You look fine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, everyone looked like that in those days. Everyone had a peregrine falcon.
I remember talking to the guy from 38 Special, their guitarist. Jeff was saying once that they didn't even know they were being filmed for a music video. Someone went to one of their gigs in Denver, and then all of a sudden they show up on MTV, and they're like, you could have told us he's out there like in a T-shirt and a pair of jeans. They had no idea.
They call that reality TV.
Jim Kerr is our guest here, SimpleMinds.com, Walk Between Worlds, the North American Tour, October 14th at the Fillmore, LiveNation.com. I'm going to be jumping between two concerts that night. I'm going to your show, and then I'm going to see the Eagles in the same night.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bit of, well, yeah.
And then,
life goals.
From Falcons to Eagles.
Yeah, exactly. But I one of the songs, I don't know if you can confirm this or not. Are you going to do Let the Day Begin? When you're here in the States?
Yeah, we are indeed. We've got I can say this, we've got a great version of this. It's, you know, Michael on the call. We're still thinking, Michael, you know, particularly when we come to the States, because when we toured, I guess, for people who don't know the song, it's a call song. It's a cool song, but it's a call song. And the Call were a band that Simple Minds toured with back in the day. And the lead singer and writer, Michael Bean, he's like a kind of mentor to us. Sadly, Michael passed away a few years ago, but we still carry him with us when we go on stage and play that song.
Well, when you did Reconciled with him, and you were on that, and then to give you a little insight, Aaron, The Call is like one of the bands that I hold close to my heart. And Michael Bean, in my mind, is one of the greatest bass players ever. The way he played so hard, but not only Reconciled, but Into the Woods. If I'm ever in a bad place, I put on Into the Woods, and it gets me out of that funk. They were so underrated, and the fact that you were connected to him and you continue to bring that up is just the best. We loved him.
He was special. You're right. They didn't get the breakthrough success that they undoubtedly, in my opinion, sounds like yours as well, Jim, deserved. But even though they were the opening band for us, as far as we were concerned, you know, they were the guys we looked up to.
Aaron, do you realize we've gone over 10 minutes without talking about the Breakfast Club? That's kind of a record for an interview, isn't it, Jim?
Well, listen, let's go.
No, but what is the story about you? For example, Peter Frampton's told us that he used to refer to Frampton Comes Alive as Voldemort, the album that would not be mentioned, because he spent so much time trying to prove that he was more than just that album. And for you guys as a young band, didn't you have a reference to it? What was it, Black something or other? What was the name of it?
The Black Head from Space.
I love that. That was another band, though, right?
We should be grateful for another Black Head from Space. So, you know, I wouldn't mind another few of them coming along. But, I guess I should explain, Jim, you know, the Breakfast Club and Simple Minds did the main song for that, Don't You Forget About Me, and it's the movie's iconic, and I think I can say the song's become somewhat iconic as well.
Yeah.
To subsequent generations, even. And yet, not only did we not write the song, we had to be almost begged to do it, begged in the sense that we said no more than a few times. And the reason we said no was, you know, we were young, we were British, and we didn't get it. We were like, what is this? What's this movie? And we sent us a rough cut. And you see, the whole premise of the movie, the kids of the various tribes, the jock and the goth and all that stuff, we didn't quite have that in the UK. And we didn't have this thing where, am I right in saying if you've been a bit naughty, you got to go to school on a Saturday or something? Is that kind of what happens here?
Detention.
We don't have that. So we were like, what's this? And it wasn't finished, and we saw it, and we were like, well, you know, it's not The Godfather, is it? and so we were like, nah, we've got our own stuff. And they said, no, you don't understand. You know, this movie's going to be a big deal to the college kids, and MTV love it. And, you know, this. And we were like, yeah, well, what about the song? And they said, well, we said, can we do our own song? And they said, no, because this is written to go with the script and all that. And I could see that. And then when they played as a demo of the song, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was good. But it just didn't seem like us. It seemed more like, it's a band I love, the Psychedelic Furs. It seemed more their kind of thing. And we were already working on stuff like Alive and Kicking and all that, and we thought, big deal, you know, so who cares? And if you're wondering, so what made us do it? What was the thing? It was very, very simple that when we met John Hughes, the director, he was a good guy. He's just always a good guy. And also the writer or the co-writer of the song, Keith Forsey, he came over at the period when we were still playing Have to Get. He came over and said, look, I want to work with you in the future anyway. Can I come over and hang out for a couple of days in Glasgow? And so he did. And we really liked him as well as a guy. And, you know, you're down the pub and all that and a few drinks and everyone's like, he's a good guy. Should we just try it out for a little bit? And pretty much we spent like two and a half hours sort of just banged it out. We had come up with the intro. We came out with the great lyrics, the la 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 bit, which, let's be honest, that's the best bit of the song. that's a money shot. And it was done.
There it is. It's always, I love the story, and I love the fact that you guys, to this day, you accept it, though, because so many artists push back against, you know what I mean? So many artists do. They push back against that song.
We have to be grateful to people that song means so much to them, and we're lucky to have played a part in it.
Well, Jim, when you get downtown Detroit and you see the Rebirth on Woodward Avenue where the Fillmore is, step outside if you get some time. You're going to see stores from John Varvatos across the street in hotels and restaurants and things 5 years ago you would have never seen here. The Rebirth downtown is stunning. You're going to love it. And the Fillmore, man, they've just redone it, too.
What was the place we used to play there? Was it the St. Andrews Hall? Or?
Yeah, St. Andrews.
Still kicking ass.
St. Andrews.
Yeah, man.
I remember that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and there was a cool little record shop there as well that I loved. It'll come to me. But anyway, probably not come to me during this interview.
We'll come to you later. Well, we'll see you there, though. October 14th, Fillmore in Detroit, Jim Kerr and Simple Minds. Love talking to you. You're my favorite, man.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Aaron.
Bye.
Bye-bye.